Let's get back to the men's room. 99.9 KISW.
Who sucks less? All the way at 4:30 right after emails on our question. What is the story that you were always asked to retell? 206-803-ROCK. Now, this guy, he is not necessarily told his story yet.
Okay.
But he will, because he doesn't have an arm anymore.
Okay, that's the story.
So, you know, I mean, it's kind of tough. I've been in that situation before where someone does not have a leg from the knee down or whatever the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
Always kind of want to ask, you know, like what happened or whatever. Somebody with a fake eye or, you know, you're kind of just curious of how this came about.
But you don't know how to broach it.
That's the tough part.
I mean, you have to ask directly.
Do you? I don't know. If somebody's an amputee and walking around, like if I'm just sitting next to them in a bar, I don't know that I'm going to ask.
I'm not going to, but I'm still thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
okay.
You're wondering.
Yeah. Like what happened?
And they know you are.
Yeah. ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller says he's lucky to be alive after a crash in rural Missouri that cost him his left arm. This past Tuesday, the 42-year-old wrote on X, he underwent a life-saving amputation.
All right.
And suffered multiple fractures and broken bones in a June 17th collision in Jasper County. I'm deeply grateful for the exceptional care I've received from the first responders to the doctors, nurses, and medical staff. I'm incredibly fortunate to even be writing this. So I'm assuming, well, it's on X, so he didn't write it with a pen.
Yeah.
According to a Missouri accident report.
He's supposed to be right-handed.
Yeah. Miller's 2023 Ford Bronco crossed the center line on State Route 96 and hit a semi.
Ooh.
Now, the truck's 28-year-old driver was not injured. Miller, who is a Missouri native and father of two, he's been with ESPN since 2021 and was airlifted to a Joplin hospital. I believe the show used to be on in Joplin, Missouri.
Joplin, Missouri. Yeah, we were on there for a while.
Says, well, I have a long road ahead. I'm focused on my recovery and taking things one day at a time. Thank you for the overwhelming support, prayers, and kind messages. They meant so much to my family and myself at this time. Look forward to continuing my recovery, getting back to ESPN to talk football, including what should be an exciting 2027 NFL draft class.
He's already back at work,
but
basically.
We don't know if he knows what happened. We don't know if he was conscious during the incident.
I'm going to guess not, just because it's a semi.
Might be one of those things where just, man, I woke up and I was in the hospital.
And my arm was gone.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the more chilling thing. I mean, it's one thing if, like, nobody wants to hear amputation, but it's one thing.
You did.
But I don't remember hearing it. So in my case, I had cut an artery, tripping up a stair, going through the big glass door in front of my apartment building. Anyway, went through the glass. When I pulled my arm out, that's when it cut. And it didn't hurt, but somehow you just know something's wrong. And I'm left-handed, so instinctively my right hand went over my arm, and it still didn't hurt, but I peek to see what the damage is. Well, it hit an artery. And it's just like the movies, man. When an artery shoots blood, it is unbelievable. These are 13-foot ceilings in this vestibule. And I moved my hand, and I remember, like, it splashed off of the ceiling. And then in that moment, started feeling weak, and I'm like, I think you need to call 911. Lucky for me, the people around me figured out I was probably going to say 911. I believe I got 911 out. Wake up in the back of the ambulance for a minute, because my body's bouncing up and down because you're freezing cold because you've lost so much blood. But the guy that's in the back with me, all I remember is that he had quite the womb room, and he had the biggest freaking mustache. Anyway, so he's attending to me, but he's screaming at the driver to go faster because, as he perceives it, I'm going into shock. Maybe I was, but I will tell you, you're very lucid in that moment because my body's bouncing up and down in the gurney. So he's doing all this other crap, and he's not listening to me. I just keep saying, put the blanket on me, because I can see the wool blanket was over his right shoulder. So I'm like, put the blanket on me. And as soon as he put it on, like, I warmed up, my body stopped shaking, I fell back asleep. Now, my perspective is, I remember waking up in the hospital room, my parents are there, and I thought it was a couple hours later. They explained, because I said, somebody needs to call work and let them know I'm going to be late. And everyone chuckled, and they're like, we called your job yesterday. I'm like, what? They're like, dude, you've been there for like 36 hours. That's a weird thing. I just, right, the day's just gone. But anyway, according to the doctor, and I don't remember this part, but they're bringing my ass in. I'm on the stretcher, and they're yelling whatever they got to yell, but they're going to take me straight into surgery. I did not have insurance at the time, so, you know, they're going to cut costs, as it were. So I guess the doctor was like, hey, man, we're going to have to amputate his left arm. And the doctor said, you'd been out cold. It's like, your eyes popped open. You grabbed me by my collar and pulled me like forehead to forehead and told him, I am effing left-handed. Do not cut off my arm. I don't remember this. That is what the doctor said. Anyway, I wake up, still have my left arm. But as the doctor's telling me that, I'm like, you were going to amputate my arm? And that's when he explained. He goes, the only reason we didn't, he said, you woke up in that moment. He's like, I don't know how you heard that, but he's like, you heard that and told me specifically that you're left-handed. So he goes, we kind of readdressed the situation and did a different surgery than we were going to. But he goes, yeah, initially, we were going to cut it off. Because the surgery we had to do to kind of repair you, it's just a little trickier.
Right.
Whatever. And what he wanted to say is, and you're uninsured. But yeah, he was like, we're gonna cut your arm off. And that just hit me. Because you know, you're laying, and yes, I still have my arm, but I'm laying in the hospital just like, what would go through my mind if I woke up? Keep in mind, the last thing I remember, honestly, is being in the ambulance, saying that one thing to the guy with the big-ass mustache, and then nothing. If I had not woken up or whatever I did in that moment, I can't imagine waking up and like,
yeah,
hey, man, your arm's gone. We had to take it off. And you don't know why, and you can't remember. That's, I don't know. That still freaks me out to this day.
I bet it does.
I can't imagine anyone. I mean,
even for somebody like me that's right-handed, like waking up without a left arm.
Yeah, whether you're left or right-handed.
But
yeah.
I can imagine, too, like that being your dominant arm. That would be crushing.
Well, even if you did get it amputated,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to know ahead of time. So I would rather be knocked out.
You wouldn't want to know?
Unconscious for 36 hours. Wake up, I'm missing my foot, I'm missing my leg, I'm missing my arm. I would not want to know going in. Let's just say that I had I had an infection or something, yeah. Right? They said, hey, look, we're going to evaluate it, but there's a good chance in 2 or 3 days we're going to have to cut your leg off. I would be constantly thinking about that scenario.
I hear you, so but man, I'm telling you.
I think it'd just be easier to wake up and it's gone, and there's nothing I can do about it.
I mean, it's easier in the sense of it ain't a whole lot of thought, but I would rather know. Because like I said, just hearing it and waking up both my limbs, I'm still just like, oh my God. I mean, I could not wrap my head around the idea of not knowing in advance. My wife's aunt, so she has a prosthetic leg, and she'll straight up tell you. She was like, oh yeah, like 20 years ago, I guess she got diagnosed with some kind of cancer. It's like bone cancer maybe, right? Something pretty aggressive. And so the doctors, as she explains it, because she is straight up about it, man. They ran through all these different things they could do. It's kind of, she was like, take it off. They're like, well, you know, there's other treatments we can do. It's like, take my damn leg off. She goes, if you take it from the knee down, if you take my leg off, will that end the cancer risk? They're like, well, yeah, because you don't have to. She's like, get rid of it. So not that her leg was perfectly healthy. That's not. But she made the choice. And it's not like they offered it on the table, as she says. She's like, I listened to everything they had to say. It's 20 minutes of all these treatments you can't pronounce and pills you can take and radiation and this, that, and the other. And it sounded horrible. And she's like, I can die going through this treatment. You can cut off my leg, and I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
Like, take the damn leg, man. I was like, wow. So it wasn't an accident. And she's like, yeah, I told them, let's cut it off. And they're like, man, that's it. She's like, no. And their whole point was, man, you realize we do that as a last resort. And she's like, right. If you start there, we got no more problems.
You guys were,
damn.
You guys were.
I would say, too, Miles, you said about knowing about it. Like, I knew somebody that, right, type 2, and they knew it. But, I mean, the time leading up to it was very depressing.
That's what I'm saying. I'd almost just rather wake up.
Oh, you're on the other side. All right, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, he just wants to wake up.
I just want to wake up and, like, there's nothing I can think about.
Yeah, you're kind of right.
Yeah.